When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Take a big breath, everybody. Now, listen, this is the most exciting thing that has happened since the beginning of lockdown. I don't want to sort of jinx ourselves, but I think, fingers crossed, everybody cross your fingers very hard, cross your legs, cross everything. I think Judith and I, thanks to Daisy, I can hear Judith in the background. Yeah. I think we have a clean contact.
I think we have to.
I can hear you.
Oh, isn't this fantastic? It's like a proper kind of, it's like a proper broadcast. I've got a big microphone in front of me, like in the war, like those broadcasters.
Do you know the funniest thing about these microphones? Judith and I have been sent microphones, and they're called Blue Yetis. You can look them up, and they are like the biggest, blackest dildo you could ever see. Honestly, every time I catch sight of mine, I flinch. For some reason, and I don't know why, I imagine this being inserted into my vagina, and I don't want that to happen.
No, I can see why. Looking at the size of it, Jenny. It's huge. Now you've put that thought into my head. I shan't look at it in any other way. I should look at it the way I look at cucumbers in that plastic wrapper every time, don't you? With the cucumbers. That's a terrible admission.
We are in the second dollop of lockdown now. Aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We are. I think we're sort of 1 week into it, aren't we? How am I getting on? Well, I'm not getting on with Mike very well, I have to say. The first lockdown, we got on really, really well. And, you know, we're kind of, I don't know, there was something very nice about pulling together, you know, we had a routine. Well, we still kind of do have this routine, coffee with the nice cups at 10:30 and then, you know, a bike ride in the afternoon. We were really getting on well. The last few days, Jenny, I don't know whether this has happened to you, is really getting on my tits.
Okay. I want some specifics here. What specifically is getting on your tits?
Well, yesterday, and actually I have to say, I think I might have overreacted a bit. He lost.
Already, I'm on Mike's side. I'm sorry.
You won't be when I tell you. Okay, I tell you, you will not be. Okay. I've got this weeding implement, which I sent off for, and it's my favourite weeder. It's brilliant, okay? It gets dandelions up. Every time I use it, I think, this is fantastic. So I went.
Is it a zapper, Judith? Does it zap?
Oh, no, zappers don't work. I've tried those. Okay, I've tried the things that burn them and all that. Complete waste of time. It's an actual device, right? Okay. And it is particularly good for dandelions. Anyway, so I walked over because he was doing some weeding, and I said, look, if you like, use this because this is the brilliant thing. But don't forget, it is my favourite gardening implement. So please look after it, okay? So off I went. I entrusted him, okay? I entrusted him with that weeder.
Your special toy, yeah.
Well, you know what happened, don't you?
Well, you can't find it. It doesn't work. Disappeared. He's dropped it somewhere.
Disappeared. He's dropped a bit everywhere. So, oh God, this is a terrible admission. Yesterday, I go look for it, you know, what have you done with the weeder? What weeder?
Oh, God.
Not even, oh, dear, sorry, I don't know. What? Yeah. Oh, did you leave that
slippery
there? Oh, I don't know.
Oh, that's slippery of him.
So, anyway, I made him go through the gardening recycling bins last night because they were coming to be collected, so they had to get. So we did that twice and been round all, but can't find the fucking thing. I am furious. I'm so bloody furious. Yeah, there's been some bad behaviour, actually.
Well, I can't. I'm going to let Mike off the hook with that one, but he has black. No, I'm going to give him an order mark, I think.
Well, only that?
Yeah, I'm giving. But remember, three order marks and he gets a detention. So tell him he better watch it. Jeff and I are getting on very. We're fine. We're absolutely fine.
Are you?
The only thing that absolutely horrifies me, and I have to keep my voice down a bit because he's in the next room. His sauce habits, Judith.
Sauce.
Sauce,
as in
condiments.
Ketchup.
I mean, it's there's sauce in this sauce, Judith. There's honestly, it's just the sheer amount of brown sauce the man can go through. The sheer amount. And then he caught me giving him a dirty look while he sort of was dolloping on the brown sauce, and he sort of smirked at me. He says, "I've got two other bottles." And I think he's been online. He has actually been online, and he's bought a couple of catering size jars of sauces. Yeah, he has. There's a catering jar of chili sauce.
Well, where are they? Hold on a minute. Which cupboard are they going in? They must be monopolising your kitchen cupboards.
Well, there's the very big catering sized jar of chili sauces in the drinks fridge, which obviously I resent because I'm a borderline alcoholic, and I'm thinking, well, that's taking up wine space.
Oh yeah.
But I think the thing is, I think when people buy those big catering sized things, it's a bit like women who buy boxes of wine so that they can't really see how bad their habit is until they have a massive breakdown when the box is empty. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like, if lockdown hasn't finished before that catering size of chili sauce studio, I'm genuinely... but to give him his credit, he did buy me a similarly sized jar of mayonnaise.
I knew you were going to say mayonnaise. Yeah. Well, that was thoughtful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't have any room for anything in that drinks thing that if you've got all that in there.
You haven't got
large kitchen cupboards anyway, have you?
I've barely got a kitchen cupboard. I've never been unhappy with the galley kitchen, Judith. I've never needed anything more. But, you know, now I would wrestle the pencil out of the architect's hand. I really would. And just say, I'd say, listen, galley kitchen, fine, but I need a fucking chest freezer. I need space for a chest freezer. Even if it's in some kind of lock-up shed bit outside.
Yes, I was thinking that. You could do that, you know, couldn't you? You could have a sort of, you know, he could keep all his sauce in there. He could have all the bloody catering packs of sauce in the shed.
We're not allowed a shed because we built out to the absolute furthest we were allowed to build. But I don't nobody would see if we just had a little sort of lock-up. But I wouldn't trust the foxes in southeast London not to be able to pick the lock, Judith. Because can I tell you another thing that happened?
Go on.
Because nature's red in tooth and claw at the moment, isn't it? Bursting out all over. It's very beautiful. Let me tell you what happened the other day. I was sitting down watching some television... Right, bang, bang, bang behind me. I thought, Jeff's upstairs. Yeah, what's he doing? Is he trying to open a catering size jar of chili sauce? What's going on here? Turn around, bloody great fox in my house with one of my shoes in its mouth.
You are joking.
I am not joking, Judith.
It just walked into the back door. In the back door.
Strolled in, as cheeky as you like.
Attracted by the smell of your shoe?
Oh, well, it was one of my yellow suede old shoes, so it's probably quite ripe inside. It's leather inside and a suede out. I think maybe he thought it was a big piece of cheese or a piece of chicken, I don't know. But he had it in his mouth, or she, couldn't. I didn't look at the undercarriage. And I had to go, I sort of froze for a second. Then I thought, I've got a decision to make here. I either go screaming and girly, and jump up on the sofa, I go into, you know, strict army major mode like my dad and start shouting in a very posh voice, "Hey, get up, be off with you, put that right down, right now." Which one did I do, Judith?
Second.
Yes, of course I did.
How dare you,
get up, right now.
That is a brilliant, brilliant voice, and I think you should be using that more often. I think you should be. I think
you know maybe where we not need it, Judith.
Where do we need it?
Well, in the supermarkets, because
we do. How's it been? How was the shop?
I went yesterday, and honestly, it's. How often do you go to a big supermarket?
Well, we've stopped going because Sienna's doing the supermarket shop and then bringing it saying hello.
That means you get to say hello.
Well, we do. And that's, you know, to be honest, that's sort of more important to me than the supermarket shop. But I did go yesterday very early to Waitrose because I had to buy a big bunch of flowers. So I did experience Waitrose yesterday. And I don't know whether you'll feel it, but people dawdling in the middle of the fucking aisle, standing in the middle of the aisle.
Yeah.
Blokes, and, obviously, looking at the butter beans, thinking, move out of the bloody way.
I think, and in your Waitrose, does it have a one-way system? Because my Sainsbury's doesn't.
No, No. I mean, that would be, I think some supermarket, that, I mean, for God's sake, why are we not in charge? I mean, we do need to be in charge so badly.
Especially with my Sergeant Major voice.
One way only. Do not double back on the aisle. No doubling back on the aisle. No re-entering the aisle. Once you've made your decision, move along. Move along right now.
I think you could, you know, you could have a few claps like that as well, could you? Come on, quickly.
Come on. Well, no, you could. I do Sergeant Major, so I have a baton under my arm and a loud hailer. And you could do the firm, strict but fair primary school teacher who actually is really scary as well.
Couldn't agree more. Did you wear the mask?
I'm totally masked up in supermarket, Judith. Absolutely.
Good.
I don't wear masks for my walk, but for supermarkets. And it did make me feel a little bit more protected, I have to say. The other thing I've been up to, guess where I've been this week?
Don't know. Well, not very far. Well, would have been, where have you been to this week? Where could you have gone apart from the Sainsbury's? Oh, now I'm intrigued.
Well,
go on.
I've been phoning and phoning and phoning every day. Phoning every day to see...
Jeff's salon! You've been to the salon! You've been to Jeff's salon!
I've been to Jeff's kitchen salon. Yes.
Go on.
Well, he was very difficult. It was hard to pin him down. Sometimes I'd phone, he just didn't pick up the phone because he knew it was me and he knew what I wanted. And I took to leaving long, pleading messages. Jeff, it's your favourite client. Jeff, I need a bleach. Anyway, oh, God. I have never done anything so traumatic. Honestly, I mean, Jeff and I haven't done anything particularly dangerous together. We've never been abseiling. We've never been scuba diving. You know, you and Mike have probably done more dangerous things than
we have ever
done together. But
oh, God.
Home bleaching.
Well, the trust involved. What I'm thinking about is that's a big trust thing, isn't it?
Oh, Judith. Yes, it was. Blimey. And, and I wasn't, I was quite difficult. You know, as soon as I got in the chair, I was flinching and difficult and sort of screaming at him, read the instructions, read them out loud. I want to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then as he started doing it, you know, when you go to quite a bad hairdresser and you can always tell as soon as they touch your head that they don't know what they're doing because they're tentative. Do you know what I mean?
He was probably scared shitless.
Absolutely, he was.
Did he have one of those funny little brushes? Did it come? Is it, so it came in a kit, presumably.
They've gone all eco, this kit I bought it from, they decided not to send a plastic bowl or a brush. So we had to improvise. But
what brush did you use?
An oil painting brush. Don't be ridiculous. I haven't got a pastry brush.
No, stupid thing.
But I have got quite a good selection of painting brushes.
So I used a nice, wide, flat oil
painting brush. Okay. And in the end, I could feel him sort of getting to grips with it. And anyway, we left it on for as long as they said, do not leave it on for over 45 minutes.
Jesus.
We stretched that a bit, 50, you know. And
you did. You went over the 45. I'd have gone under.
No, because it's orange, Judith. It goes through the colour stages, and there's when it hasn't quite lifted, it's quite orange. And I have to say, there are some orange patches. There are some bits he didn't quite get.
Oh, you mean it's orange when it where sort of the aftermath, the effect is orange at the end.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
So I've got sort of some nice blonde bits. I've got some orange bits. I've got some bits that we missed.
Did he give you some magazines while it was cooking?
I was too tense. I was too tense, Judith. And then the rinsing off. And the other thing, if I was to remodel this house, if I could go back and wrestle the pencil off the architect, I'd want a backwash sink.
A backwash sink.
Because I tried to sort of... Because we haven't got... I bet you've got... Have you got one of those attachments in your bath that you can shower your hair off with?
No. Do you remember those things that we used to have when we were kids before, like, showers? They were those plastic things. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
And they always came off. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And you'd have to sit, you'd have to be in the bath, and then you'd have to do your hair while you were in the bath, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's what I do anyway.
Mm. I do that. I always wash my hair in the bath. But I was sort of leaning over the bath and I was trying to do it with the Pyrex jug. And it was a bit of a mess, to be quite honest.
I can visualise that.
And then Jeff said, you've got to get in the shower. Just get in the shower. Get it off. It's got to come off now. And so I had to... Then I was naked. So I'm fat and naked with orange God, hair we're in the shower.
Weight, aren't we are all putting on weight.
I bet you've not.
Oh, I have. I haven't dated. In fact, I got the scales out and might put a new battery in them.
Why would you?
No, but you see, I've been a real... This is really feeble of me because, okay, put the battery in. I stepped on them yesterday. Yeah. After I'd had a poo, obviously. Not stupid.
Taking all your jewellery off. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, all that, yeah. But it's still in kilos, you know, and obviously I could have, I don't know how to do it because it means putting my glasses on. I don't know how to change it to stones and pounds, but I haven't really had the courage to do that. But it
so do you know how much you weigh in kilos?
I wrote it down, but it's poor. I just know. I am. I haven't stopped eating. I mean, I just barely come up for air.
There's nothing else to do. You can bleach your hair. That takes 2 hours.
Well, that would, yeah. I mean, that would, yeah. That
stop you eating for a couple of hours.
It probably would.
But there's nothing else to do, Judith. I mean, everything revolves around what you're going to watch on the television, a little bit of hobby stuff and eating. I've never had a bosom as big as this in my life.
Oh, really? Yeah, yes. Well, welcome to the club.
Well,
Are you bursting out of your bras?
Yes.
At the back.
I mean, I've never, every single which way, front, side, back. I mean, sometimes, and I've never had much of a bosom. You know me, I never got a bosom till I was 50. And then, you know, the menopause basically gifted me a bosom.
A bosom, as you like to call it, a bosom.
A bosom. And I've become quite cleavagey. And I don't know quite what to do with it. Sometimes I have to kind of gather the bosomy bits that have fallen out of the bra and kind of put them back in.
Do you? Yes.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever shown you how to put a bra on? I remember going to Bravissimo, that chain of big bosomed, it is designed for the big bosomed woman. Yeah. And I remember, you get fitted and everything. And they always change the size, which means you have to buy loads of the bloody bras.
Yeah.
And she showed me how, and you're supposed to lean over and kind of, you know, sort of, and they're supposed to fall into the cup. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. And then you put it on and everything. I mean, it's ridiculous. But yes, perhaps that might be the way forward, Jenny.
That would be a bit like sort of driving a forklift truck, you know, sort of forward a bit, sideways a bit, back a bit. Oh, they're in now. Lift. Oh, hoist. Up you come. Yeah.
Hoist. No, hoist is the right word,
isn't
it?
See, the thing is, Judith, I've never had a bra that's had a fastener because I just wear those. I wear a sloggy, non-fastened, just elastic bra.
Never.
Yeah, because they go up. They go up to a sort of... I wear a 36 or a 38A or something like that. Just have to go up to a 40A because it's just all back fat, really. It's just fat.
I have never worn a bra that did not even the first teeny starter bras, which I can visualise as I'm saying it. They've always had fastness on the back and now they've got, you know, just like four hooks and eyes, great big things.
Well, you might have to, impressed. You might have to send me some of your old bras.
I might have
grown into them. Anyway.
Are you finding... Because I haven't used my handbag for weeks. Obviously, I've forgotten what it's like to have a handbag.
Well, I take my handbag out with me, Judith. Yes, I do. I don't know why it is. It's like a security blanket thing. When Jeff and I go for our walks, I always take my handbag, yes, with
do
my keys
you?
And my sunglasses. Oh. Yeah, and I don't know. I just don't feel ready. I don't feel
ready for life, ready for the world.
Without my handbag, yeah. Right. I know you've got a bit of a bum bag thing going on.
I have got a bit of a bum bag thing.
I find that really worrying. I just don't know whether you're actually allowed a bum bag, Judy.
It is quite... It's a look, isn't it?
It's
a bad style form. I have to say it's a bad look. And I've got a horrible feeling that it's going to be very hard to shake off post-lockdown because I've got a really good system going on because I've got my phone, you know, if I want a podcast on. I've got my lip still. Sometimes I have a bit of lipstick. I've got my reading glasses and my sunglasses because I need both of those at the moment, you know. And it's all there. Gardening, painting, dressmaking, it's all there with me.
Yeah, you see, I've got, rather than a bum bag, because I don't think I don't sort of stride out as much as you do, and I don't have the garden thing. So what I've got dotted around the house are little nests of the stuff that I need.
have you? Little stations.
Yeah, little stations, yes, oh, yeah. With a sort of maybe notebook, pen, my eye medication, and the spray I use to clean my glasses and a glasses wipe. Yeah, I've got those dotted about.
Nice.
I'm not putting... Nice. Are you keeping tidy? Because I'm not really putting things away so much anymore.
No, standards just really... Because nobody's going to call round, are they? I mean, literally,
well, hopefully not.
Nobody's... Literally nobody is going to call round.
Have you changed your sheets?
Have changed my sheets because I like that feeling of getting into new sheets. Well, don't tell me you... Well, I know what you like for changing sheets. Go on. How many times have you changed them? Don't tell me you haven't changed them since lockdown. Jenny!
I think, no, we've changed them once and I changed... don't know whether I have. Yes. Yeah, of course I have. I've changed them three times. I've changed them once. Right. I'm not ironing my sheets, but I am ironing my pillowcase. You know, we're so lazy.
That's okay. Yes, I think that's perfectly acceptable. However, yeah, so you haven't changed
the
sheets.
What? No, well, I have once, Judith Honestly. I think I have once. Must have done. We're so lazy. Jeff got a voucher for the White Company. And we were toying with buying a new set of sheets just so that they'd just arrive in the post and they'd all be pristine.
and you'd be able to take them out of the packet and put them on. Like a new shirt.
Yeah.
Lovely. Oh, lovely. Do you know Mrs. Simpson, who married that Edward? I can never remember whether it was Edward 6 or 7 or 8. You know, Mrs. Simpson. Wallis Simpson, that's right. And she apparently, she had a nap every afternoon and she demanded that her bed was completely changed with new sheets. You know, really high thread, sort of, you know, proper
brand
kind of
new.
Brand new sheets every single time. I mean, that's the behaviour of a brat, isn't it? That is really, really the behaviour. I mean, that's... I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, she was trouble.
Yes, I know where you're going with this.
Well, I'm just leading in because I just want your opinion on this, Judith. I'll sit back and I'll just listen to you.
Well, I'm sorry, but Meghan and Harry on the front page of the newspapers yesterday saying that they wouldn't deal with the tabloids, they refused to deal with the tabloids. I just could not be less interested. I'm furious, actually, that the papers would even give them the oxygen of the airspace. Like, well, get over yourselves.
I have to admit, Judith, I'm very disappointed. I'm very, very disappointed in them because their timing... Yes. Their timing of this could not be more off-kilter. Give a shit at the moment, do we?
No, worse than that.
And it's such a shame.
They bogged off. They bogged off. And, you know, I'm sorry, but the ship is sinking. Don't start... Oh, you've really got me now. Don't start some charitable thing over there to help the volunteers here. If you care that much, get the fuck back. I'm sorry. I am so furious.
Listen, Judith, I think the ship has sailed and the ship has sunk. If we're going to sort of do our metaphors, I think I don't think we want them back at the moment, actually.
No, we
because
don't,
I think
actually.
They'd just be annoying.
No, good riddance. Good
and it's a little bit, you know, they're going to have to spend some time away now and then they can come back with their tails between their legs and then we'll welcome them back at some point in the future, but not right now. Talking about families and, you know, difficult family members and feuds and all that kind of thing. We've just had every Sunday we do an online family quiz.
Brilliant.
Well, up to a point. And it's quite complicated and technical because we all do it on Zoom. And it's all the different various households. There's my brother and his wife and kids in Tunbridge Wells. There's me and Jeff in Camberwell. My sister and her second son down the road in Camberwell. Her first son in Cornwall. He's a floater, Zach. He'll play with anyone he fancies playing with. And then Phoebe and Tristram in New Cross. And we all do this Zoom thing. And what happened, Phoebe started it and then the winner does the next quiz. So it's my sister.
Oh, how fabulous.
Yeah. Well, my sister and her son Jasper, they did such a quiz. I mean, it was 2 hours of quizzing.
Blimey.
2 hours, Judy.
Blimey. Yeah.
Jeff and I lost.
What, you mean as in bottom? You came bottom?
We came bottom.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good. I mean, you're supposed to know stuff, aren't you? Well, I mean, that's grown-ups.
Well, I know. And there was
ones did you fall down on?
Well, I can give you some of the questions if you want. They weren't easy.
Oh, God.
But you know that when you said that earlier on, you said that some of the things Mike was doing annoyed you?
Yeah.
Well, during the quiz, I just thought, Jeff, you're supposed to be Jeff, why don't... Obviously, I don't know this, but why don't you know it?
Yes.
That kind of thing. Jeff, you know those things...
Because my sister's your doing, job. Your job to
your
know
job
that.
To know the history stuff.
Quite.
And there's, okay, so the... I'll give you... okay, so when did the Berlin Wall go up?
Go up?
Yeah. I think you'll remember 40? When the Berlin Wall came down.
45? 45? Did it go up in 45?
So, no, Judith. Even I was closer. I said 63. It was actually 61.
As late as that?
Yeah, yeah. That's why my dad was out there, of course. And it all made sense. Because he went out there to be... Oh, a spy, basically. But anyway, so it's my brother, unfortunately, won. My brother and his family. And he's going to compile a quiz. And he has already said that his aim is to compile a quiz at the end of which I don't score a single point.
That's Jenny.
I know.
Oh, Jenny. I think you're going to have to... Are you going to have to plead technical problems here?
That's a brilliant idea.
That sounds like... The trouble is, if you keep losing, you won't get hold of the reins, will you, in order to... To set the questions, is that what you mean?
This is the thing that has been bothering me the most this week about not getting a hold of the reins of the quiz.
Precisely.
But we've decided that even if we don't win, because there's only two of us, that we should be given a chance to compile a quiz. And Jeff has already been saying, I'm going to get some fucking art questions that none of the idiots will know. I mean, really, he's quite vengeful.
Yes, well, I don't blame him. You see, I've opted out of that sort of competition because we've had a couple of quizzes as well. Not as sophisticated as yours, it doesn't sound, but we have had a couple and they are great. But I think because I am such a dunce, I'm always terrible at pub quizzes, actually.
Yeah,
I'm not
too.
Stupid, but I'm useless at it.
I don't retain facts.
No, I don't care. I was like that as a kid at school. I remember at school thinking, well, I'm not going to need to know that. Why am I going to need to name a 9-times table? It's too complicated. No, I'm not doing that.
I haven't got room in my head for that.
Precisely. Never mind about now. I've got any room. So I think what I do and have done is sort of silly rounds. And I just, you know, so I had... Well, I thought was rather good. So I had a kind of household object that I knew that they would sort of know. Like I got Ellen's little Ted that she used to love as a kid. And I put a tea towel over it and I held it up to the screen. And I said, well, what do you think this is? You know, and there was a sort of little clue. And they had to guess. And then I took the tea towel off. That was, you see, I think if you're going to do a quiz, you need to do that way.
That's the sort of thing you want. You
Precisely.
Want some things. Yes. Did anybody cry? I'd have cried if I'd seen little Ted.
Yeah, I think I cried.
Of course you
I thought
did.
It was a bloody good round anyway. And I think that's... Oh, you don't want history questions. And that's just humiliating. Did you watch the quiz thing on ITV?
I know. It's sort of how ironic that we get the most popular show during the coughing pandemic is a programme about coughing.
Oh, God.
But it was well done, wasn't it?
It was well done. I hadn't noticed the irony of that. That's clever. It was well done. But do you know what? You know in the drama, because obviously it was about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, there was this sort of figure with kind of quite a lot of tan on called David Briggs, and he devised it. You know that character?
The one that looked like he'd used gravy on his face slightly.
Yes, he did. I didn't remember him looking particularly tanned, but anyway, I suppose he might have done. But yeah, went out with him for quite a long time while he was pitching it to broadcasters. And
Judith.
I am ashamed to say, I mean, I remember him talking about it, saying, you know, it's a quiz show and, you know, it's another question. I might have even said to him, you know, well, it's just like a quiz then, is it? Oh, right, okay, whatever.
And was it a serious relationship? Like, you know, kind of...
It was from my point of view, Jenny. However, he dumped me. Oh, my God, he dumped me. I haven't actually been dumped that often, but I remember it was in Tutton's Wine Bar in Covent Garden.
I know it well, Judith, because I waitressed opposite. Yes.
Did you?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I remember it so distinctly because I wasn't expecting this at all. But he said, basically, I think this is getting a bit too serious. So I think, you know, we probably need to cool it off. And, you know, it's just too intense. And basically, he was just dumping me and sort of finding a way to say
that. He was calling you a psychopath as well. basically saying, you know, you're a nut job and I can't deal with you.
Well, I don't know whether he was saying that, but I remember, you know, instead of kind of thinking, okay, right, he's dumping me, right, okay, we need to move on. I remember sort of saying, well, we could see each other less often, couldn't we? Well, you know, surely we could cool, you know, it's like
reasonable.
Not getting
reasonable.
This to you. Yeah, you're not getting this, Judith, are you? I'm dumping you. Now, of course, oh God, he made so much money.
So much money.
Yeah, got Picasso's on the wall, apparently.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Well, listen, anyway, Judith, I want to tell you something which is nice. I wanted a sort of silver lining, a baby silver lining. My friend Beautiful Frances, that I've talked about before, her daughter, Mercedes, had a baby. Get that.
Oh, what, recently?
On Easter Sunday, I think, in actual fact.
Oh,
and she did it very well. She went into hospital, had a water birth at 3:15 a.m. The baby came out, boy, nice. And then she was home by lunchtime.
Good
home by lunchtime, yeah.
Good heaven. Was that not the first baby, surely?
Yes, first baby. First
That's
baby
impressive.
Just popped it out. Mind you, I mean, I got a baby out very easily. I've had worse yoga classes, but I was in hospital for 5 days.
How are yours?
Wait
a minute. So we've never really talked about this, have we?
Isn't it odd?
It is odd. So how was your labour then? It sounds like it was straightforward.
Oh, yes, it was. I mean,
unusual.
I know. But I think, I don't think it was me doing the work. I think it was Phoebe. I think even as a very small baby, she kind of, well, you know what she's like. She's kind of quite adept at stuff. And I think she just thought, well, if I'm going to be born, I might as well be born. And I'll put my head down here and I'll just get on with it.
Really?
And so I only went into hospital because my vision went blurred, and I can tell you exactly what I was watching. I was watching EastEnders, and it was the night Dirty Den got shot.
Yeah.
And I was watching this, and I thought, I've got double vision. I can see two Dirty Dens getting shot.
Ooh,
and I said
terrifying.
To Jeff, yeah, and he said, oh, I think, he'd obviously read some books, I'm bothered, you know, pre-eclampsia. So we went to hospital, to King's, you know, there's still my local hospital.
Yeah.
And it might have been a weekend night, I don't know, but through A&E, I mean, you know, South London A&E at 9 o'clock at night, the drugs are just starting to roll in. And suddenly I sort of thought, oh gosh, I've got a tummy ache here. And I was starting to have contractions. And eventually they put me in a wheelchair, took me up in a lift. And she said, your waters haven't broken yet. Now, we can wait for this to happen naturally. And she pulled out the crochet hook. She said, we can pop it now. Yeah, so I thought, well, you know, might as well. Because apparently I was already 6 centimetres dilated.
Never.
Yes. So she popped my waters and I basically had the baby within 3 hours of being in hospital. About 1:30 in the morning.
And did you have gas and air? Did you have an epidural?
I didn't have an epidural. I didn't have gas. I didn't like the gas and air. It made me feel sick. And I just thought, well, I can't do this. I can't do this because I was trying the gas and air. I just thought, oh, this makes me feel awful. This makes me feel like I'm going to be sick. I can't bear it. So I thought, well, if I can't bear it, I might as well get this over and done with. And I just rolled over onto all fours and just thought, I've just got to get this thing out of me now.
Yeah.
And literally, I did about 4 pushes and she was out.
Never.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed. I mean, you know, for a committed hypochondriac, I'm really impressed.
I know.
Wow.
And then it all went horribly wrong because I couldn't get the placenta out. So I'd done all this hard work.
Yeah.
And then literally they're going, oh, just one more push in the placenta. And it just, it wasn't coming out.
Oh,
and then
God.
They started getting panicky about that. And I was just about to go out down to theatre. And they said, oh, just one more go. And I thought, oh, God, this is so boring now. And I was cold, Judith. That was the other thing. It was February.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I thought, I cannot be in this corridor going down to this theatre, you know. So I was just, oh, like that. And I got it out. And then they let me have a bath. And then I remember thinking, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want this baby. I can't bear to be in this hospital. All I want to do now is I want to go home to my own mum. I want to get into my old single bed. And I want to go to sleep. And I do not want to do this anymore.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's traumatic, isn't it? It is traumatic.
What did you say? Traumatic. Traumatic, like that. Traumatic, you say. Traumatic. Anyway, what was yours like?
Well, I didn't push. I didn't push either time. So I'm interested to know what. Well, because, I mean, you know how big my childbearing hips are.
No, you're narrow. You're narrow at the hip.
Well, maybe I am. Anyway, so what happened is the waters broke with Sienna.
Yeah.
And
at home or in hospital?
Yeah, in at home. And so we went into hospital because I think that's what we were told to do. Yeah. change now. So we got there and they sort of said, oh, you know, nothing's happening at all. So we'll keep you in and it might start to happen. Didn't happen. And then, so they induced me in the morning. And that's, you know, it's like it really kickstarts, you know, wham, like that. Yes. Whoa, top of the range kind of thing. And bloody hell, it hurt. I mean, I remember thinking, it's like, you know, it's like being reversed over on your stomach, isn't it? Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It really hurt like hell. And I also remember that Mike must have met somebody, I think, that he knew in the corridor downstairs. He was gone for ages. Came back. Don't want to met somebody he used to go to work. Get the fuck back here.
Yeah.
And so it took hours and hours. I mean, literally about 24 hours of that, you know, gas and air, snatching that, really. And then the epidural, of course. And then in the end, I was still only 6 centimetres dilated. So after all that, and you were like that when you were being wheeled up in the lift, sounds like. It was caesarean because, you know, Sienna was getting distressed. They had to keep doing these kind of funny tests on the top of her head, which I think were just about showing. So wheeled into theatre and there you go. So
and were you conscious? Never... Could you hear and see what was going on?
Yeah, I could. But do you know, that is, it's a frightening experience being, you know, fully sort of numb, really. Do you know what I mean? It is a frightening experience. And I think the lovely anaesthetist probably just thought, oh, we've got a right one here, and gave me a bit, you know, I think gave me just a little bit sort of thing that put me under where it was all getting really terrible. And then, of course, the baby's out and then you're all right, aren't you, really? Ish.
Did you like the baby immediately?
Oh, I adored her.
Really?
I did, but so you were a bit ambivalent, were you?
Oh, I just remember thinking, oh, look at that freak. Yeah.
did you?
And see, when they said, and I couldn't get the placenta out and I was being taken down to theatre, Jeff just held the baby and immediately bonded and, you know, fell desperately in love, which was a good thing because it took me some time. Really did. And I, you know, motherhood was really difficult for me in the early months. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think me and babies, I was terrified all the time. Really, really scared.
It's terribly nerve-wracking, isn't it? I mean, they are. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think these young women today who are having babies during this pandemic, I think they're having to be so brave, don't you?
Oh, they are. Well, apart from the else, presumably, they can't, they haven't got their own mums to come and help.
Well, my mum didn't come and help. Did yours?
Didn't she? Oh, God, she came and helped. Do you know, I remember the relief. Because I thought that's where you were going with your thing, saying that you wanted to go back into your single bed. Like you wanted the help. You know, oh, I've got to help.
No. I just didn't want to have the baby at that point. I wanted to regress totally and go back to a time that was before all that.
No.
So your mum came up, did she?
Oh,
or came
I remember
down?
The relief. Because we lived in Chiswick, and I remember getting home, and I couldn't do the sort of breastfeeding thing, and I think she probably came on day two or really really early on, but she came and she got the house like mum clean, you know what I mean? It was suddenly like Mike was quite helpful, but yeah, not so that the play, and she set up a nappy changing station, I remember, downstairs in the living room and then one upstairs. So he didn't have to keep going up and down the stairs. That was brilliant. Just came with everything, set my father out to the supermarket, get this, get that, you know, and, the relief.
Did your dad come too? Your dad came too?
Of course he did. Of course.
Where did you put them?
I'm an only child, Jenny. Of course they came. They abandoned their own lives.
But my sister was very good. And I mean, she's not the most sort of milk of human kindness type, but she knew I was struggling. Yeah. And she did come round about sort of a week after the baby had been born and we'd been back from hospital about 2 days or something. And we hadn't moved out from the bedroom, Jeff and me. We just sort of looked at this baby and... I hadn't washed, I hadn't pooed, I hadn't, you know, we were just in a terrible, terrible kind of slum mess.
Yeah.
And she just said, right, the two of you, you're leaving this baby in this carry cot or whatever. She was in a basket. I think she was in a wicker basket thing.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, you are going through to the sitting room. You're going to have a meal and you're not going to look at that baby or go and see if she's all right unless she cries.
Good and of course, Sarah.
Sarah, our boss is Sarah. Hell.
I remember the turning point for me because I couldn't feed Sienna, even though I've got these massive boobs, I've got tiny little nipples. You know, she kept sliding off.
Yeah.
And the more tense I got, the more, you know, more she couldn't get it in her mouth. And we sent off for all sorts of milking machines from the NCT. Literally, I'd be there at the kitchen counter with this bloody thing going on and getting it into bottles. The breakthrough for me, and this is Mike actually, and he said, "Right, okay, you're going to have a glass of champagne, and you know, for God's sake, relax, it'll be fine." And gave me a glass of champagne, and it was all right then. It was kind of. I needed to unwind myself. Yeah. And it's
so you could only breastfeed pissed. Brilliant. So that's the solution if there's anybody struggling.
Yes.
Listen, I think what we're saying is that if anybody's in this situation, you know, we are sending you all our love. And if there are grandparents who've got new grandchildren, you can't see them, that must be really, really difficult. So
it really, really must be hard.
Yeah. Right, finishing off time, yes. Judith, now. We're going to have just a sort of, you know, our roundup of things that are keeping us going. And can I put a bid in right now for Mallory Towers?
Well, you are so right. Your sort of recommendations are usually spot on, but I must say, Mallory Towers, isn't it fabulous?
Oh, it's so ideal for sitting on the sofa and sucking your thumb to. It really is. I mean, it is the ultimate in regression television. I mean, I used to love the Mallory Towers books and the St. Clair's books. Did you read them?
I read them all avidly. Yeah. I didn't know anybody that went to public school, let alone boarding school. Yeah. But I really wanted to play lacrosse and I wanted to have, well, you know, had dorm fun. But I now realise that my thing about outdoor swimming might have come from that, of course, because I'd forgotten about the outdoor pool. Oh, the clock's going. Sorry about that.
That's hilarious. You in your dining room? You're in your dining room, aren't you?
I'm in the dining room with all these kind of sleeping bags and pillows bunched up to the wall, to the windows, where everybody's walking past in the village. And God knows what they think is going on in here.
Well, if they catch a shadow of the massive dildo microphone, they'll be very, very concerned. Yes, so for everybody who doesn't know about the Mallory Towers thing, it's on BBC iPlayer, totally free. And I think there's 10 episodes, I'm not too sure.
They are wonderful.
Hugely enjoying it. Yeah, really, really. And which one do you want to be, or which one do you like best?
Oh, Daryl, of course. Why would you not want to be Daryl? You don't tell me you want to be somebody else.
No, I don't want to be someone else. I'm just not any of them that are sort of on screen, because there isn't a sort of bitchy, psychotic one who's sort of
the matron.
Angry.
I love the matron. She's fabulous. I adore her.
There's some lovely work going on. Daryl is such beautiful casting. Not only does she look so wonderful, but she is. She's absolutely perfect for the role. And I think there's some lovely work going on by Mary Lou as well, who's the drippy one.
Oh,
and she's quietly doing some really nice acting. And they all are. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, it's fabulous.
So there we go. That's our tip for you lot. There are some nice art documentaries, really short ones. There's one, a series called Art in Isolation, and it's presented by Philip Mould, who's the bloke that does the art fraud cases with Fiona Bruce.
Oh, I know who you mean. Yes, I like that programme.
Oh, well, Judith, if you look up Art in Isolation, he's got a collection of fabulous paintings, and it's in his very, very beautiful home. One of those sort of golden Cotswoldy. I don't know where it is, in actual fact. I've only just started watching them. But that's another tip for you if you're interested in art documentaries. Philip Mould's Art in Isolation, yes. The Women's Prize for Fiction list came out last night.
Oh,
and
did it?
Yeah, some very big hitters on it. There's the Hilary Mantel. There is the Hamnet, the new Maggie O'Farrell. I'm a big Maggie O'Farrell fan. And the Bernardine Evaristo. Those are the three big names, but there are three lesser known names on that I shall be investigating further.
Well, I suppose if you did have time, you could listen to me on the Alan Jones Show on BBC Radio Wales, because I've been doing his sort of version of Desert Island Discs for BBC Radio Wales. So, gang, if you are at a loose end, you could listen to me with my five favourite tracks, and it's going out this Sunday, which is, I think, Sunday the 24th of April at 1 o'clock. There you are. Plugged.
Excellent. Done. Excellent. Anyway, there we go. That is our pick of cultural goodies for you. You can take your pick from that crop and suggest anything that you think would help us too. So, Judith, I'm going to hand over to you now because you are the mistress of our older and wider email account, and I'd love to listen to some of the emails we've had this week.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yes, I am sort of head girl, aren't I, in terms of the emails. And we've had lots of people have been making the masks, which is brilliant. Claire Worthy has been making them, and Maureen Catchpole, and Anne Gabble. So they've gone very...
And such great names. They are great names. They sound like older and wider listeners.
Yes, they do rather, don't they? And then Jade Sandal has found a Lego box somewhere in the house. Oh. I think she must have been listening to it. Was it one of our guests ages ago? She's obviously gone through all the podcasts.
It was Emma. Emma
anyway,
Kennedy.
She's found and she's sent a picture of a box with an old-fashioned camper van on the front, and it's a Lego kit, and she's been doing that, and it's got apparently little tiny weeny curtains in it and teeny kind of wine glasses. And she's
that's a classic build that's out at the moment. You can get that Lego kit now. It looks like a traditional Lego camper van, but the kit is available now. And it's sort of like one of the beginner kits for people who are really into Lego. So it's quite tricky, but not mega tricky.
Well,
it's ideal for lockdown.
Yes, isn't it just? So keep sending us lots of emails and tell us what you're up to and lots of pictures of what you're doing. And it is olderwiderpod@gmail.com. And also send us some things on Instagram. Can I just say thanks ever so much for people who've put on Instagram in the last couple of days some sympathy for me, because I lost a really, really good friend on Sunday in the village called Pete Strange. He was wonderful and I shall miss him so much. It's a bloody difficult time, isn't it, for all of us?
Yeah, so. And I mean, you know, just so that people don't leap to conclusions, Pete didn't die actually of corona, did he?
No, he had a heart attack in the garden, suddenly had a heart attack and dropped down dead. But yes, he was one of my favourite people, so I shall miss him very much. Pete loved the Wurzels, okay?
Oh, I've gone off Pete.
No, he loved that, I mean, in an ironic way. And I remember very recently, he was wearing a kind of funny hat, and I said, "You look like the Wurzels."
A straw hat. Yeah. I do.
And, you know, a funny little tweedy thing. And we had a good old laugh about the Wurzels, and he put it on and we laughed at it. So maybe we should go out on the Wurzels.
I am a combine harvest.
Yeah, exactly. That one.
I'm struggling with that. You know that I struggle with that. I'm not sure, but because Pete was your mate.
Yeah.
Oh, God, go on then. I might not be able to listen to the end of this show, but no, the spirit is right and we shall go out on the Wurzels, but never again.
Fair enough.
All right, now listen, Judith, lots of love.
Yeah, it'd be lovely to talk to you.
All the sympathy in the world. I do know it's a very particularly tough
to everybody that's going through it. Yeah.
Yeah, and to everybody.
See you soon. See you next week. Bye, gang.
And speak to you soon. Lots of love.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I drove my tractor through your haystack last night. Ooh, ah, ah. I threw me pitchfork at your dog to keep quiet. Ooh, ah, now something's telling me that you move right in me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.